Well, hello and welcome to Local Matters. This is Education Matters, and my guest today is Becky Hall, the Executive Director of the Upper Cumberland Local Workforce Board, and we are talking about education matters in the Upper Cumberland. Becky, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted that you can be with us. Not everyone may know everything they need to about you, so tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you got into what you're doing now.
Well, I graduated from TTU and began my career as an academic advisor in the School of Nursing, and I absolutely loved that job. It was wonderful. And then David came in one day and said, we're moving to Indiana, so I had to figure out a new job when I got there. And I ended up working as the undergraduate program administrator for the College of Engineering at Purdue University. And I love that job. I love working with students. And so then I moved back to Cookeville eventually, came back in, said we're moving back to Tennessee. And I was the campus director for Nashville State Community College and loved that. It is one of my greatest joys to be able to help students get their degrees, because that literally changes their lives and generations in their family, because we have many first-generation scholars here in the Upper Cumberland. And so then when the campus moved to Cookeville Higher Education Campus, I was approached about applying for the Workforce Executive Director. I did, and as they say, that's history. I'm here and loving this job. I very much enjoy it.
Well, that's quite a journey. And obviously you've been tied to workforce development just about every step of that.
Yes, sir.
Every step of that journey. Well, tell us about what you do now and about the mission of the local Workforce Development Board.
Well, the Workforce Development Board is a 501c3 that was established through the consortium of the county mayors that serve the Upper Cumberland. There are 14 counties. And we assist students or participants or customers in being able to upskill if they are dislocated. Then we help them to go back to school to gain skills. We can provide and pay for training. We also work in removing barriers. We have a supportive services policy that helps us review the participants' needs and be able to assist them, whether it's a transportation barrier or child care. That's a huge issue for single moms or even households in the Upper Cumberland. And so we're able to provide those services and remove the barriers so that they'll be able to get their degree or get some type of certification and move into a better living wage.
Well, barriers are something we've all had to live with, but talk more about what you mean by removing barriers. That's so important.
Well, for example, we have during COVID-19, we have had to be very nimble and adaptive. And so our board has given me the ability to make decisions, exceptions to our policy in times of need. So we had participants who suddenly found themselves at home because their classes were continued online. And as you well know, there are many students who could never afford a laptop or that type of thing. So we did, on a case-by-case basis, a review of our participants' needs, and we're able to be adaptive to that. Our policies require that if we pay any supportive services, for example, in the case of COVID-19, an internet bill, well, our policy requires that it be in the participant's name. So if we reviewed our policy, we've made some exceptions during that time, and as I said, had to be very nimble and adaptive, and we really feel like that we served the participants in the Upper Cumberland well during that time.
Boy, we've all had to sort of think outside the box during this time, haven't we? It's been a challenge for our nation and our world, and certainly folks here in the Upper Cumberland and in Putnam County have had to do some thinking differently also. Well, you also work with the State Department of Economic Development and align some with them. Talk about that alignment.
Well, we work very closely with them. We have a monthly business services team meeting. And so they're part of that business services team that we meet with monthly. If they have a prospective business that comes in that needs assistance, we obviously work with them very closely on that. And it's not just prospective businesses. It may be a business that needs our assistance that is already established here. Businesses have gone through a very difficult time during COVID-19, and so we work closely with them. And then their regional director serves on our board. He's there. He's able to know how workforce is. We owe is a very difficult law and to enact. And so our regional director is very active on our board and provides great insight how that economic development and workforce can partner. We work very closely together.
And you mentioned a term, WEO, that you and I know about, but yes. Tell our listeners what that means.
WEOA is the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act. It was enacted in 2014, and it basically gives the funding, the federal funding for workforce to each of the states, and each of the states is divided up into a workforce area. We have 9 across the state of Tennessee. We are in the middle region with Southern Middle, which encompasses Benton and Tullahoma. I can't remember the county.
Yeah, well, I can't either right now. We'll think of that.
And then Northern Middle, which is Nashville, Clarksville, and Trousdale counties and Rutherford.
So that's a pretty big area.
That is a big area. And we are in that middle region with all of them. And we each of those have their own local workforce development board. Our CLEO, which is Chief Local Elected Official, it's each of the county mayors in the 14 counties, he has asked each of the local elected officials to appoint a member to the board. And so we have our own board system set up, as do each of the other local workforce development areas. And that's how WEO is set up. The authority and the decision-making power is given to the local areas. Because having even being in the area with Nashville and with Southern Middle, our area in the Upper Cumberland is very much different from those areas. We don't need the same types of services that Nashville needs. And so if you give funding to the entire region, then you don't necessarily meet the need. So all of our decision-making power is in the local area through the local elected official.
It makes a lot of sense to localize it. Mm-hmm. So talk about Nashville versus us, and versus is a wrong term, but what are some of the things that we would see in comparison here that would be more important needs than they would see in Nashville? Obviously, the demographics are different. That's a big city with a lot of different dynamics going on in the city, but what else?
Transportation is huge in the Upper Cumberland. That is a barrier that we are working very hard to create an answer for. It is just because we are so rural, and none of the areas have a TCAT or a College of Applied Technology in their area. They have one, but it's not located in their county.
Yeah.
And so transportation is huge. The other thing is, believe it or not, internet services today.
Yes.
We have participants who say that they have to cross the road to go to grandma's house because she gets internet on her side and they don't get it on their side of the road. We've been partnering with Twin Lakes. They're phenomenal. They've been helping us in trying to overcome that. And so those are issues that Nashville would never experience because they have a public transportation system. They have a very strong internet infrastructure. So those are two things that I could just tell you immediately that we need to address.
Yeah, those are great examples of differences, and that's why it's important to localize it. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Becky Hall about the Upper Cumberland Local Workforce Board and some of the activities that she is involved with. Now, Becky, I know you have other strategic partners too. You've mentioned county leaders, you've mentioned State Department of Economic Development, but who else is involved in what you do?
Well, we work through the American Job Centers that are located in the Upper Cumberland. We have two comprehensive sites, and by comprehensive, I mean that all of our services are located within one building. And one of our sites is here in Cookeville, and the other one is located in Crossville in Cumberland County. And then we have affiliate sites in seven of the other counties across the Upper Cumberland. And so those partners that are located all day, every day in the American Job Centers is adult education, and we do that through Putnam County Schools here in the Upper Cumberland. They submitted a bid to get that contract, and they do a phenomenal job. In fact, they've been first in the state on some of their metrics that they've had to meet. So we're very pleased to be partnering with them. The other one is vocational rehabilitation, and that's the Title IV. We work with them. They are located daily in our American Job Center. If you come in, you can meet with someone there. We also have Wagner-Peiser, which is not a common term that everyone knows.
Right.
That's actually the state arm of workforce. That's the portion that they maintain. And they serve local. We have a local veterans employment rep. They serve businesses through our business service teams. We have, and they do resume writing assistance through Wagner-Peiser, and they've also created a partnership with the local rescue mission, wherein that they are doing weekly. They go in and provide services, whether it's interviewing skills or resume writing skills or creating an account on Jobs for TN, which is the state's website to look for jobs. And then we have the Department of Human Services. We're co-located with them over on 1000 England Drive. And, of course, I would be remiss if I did not include the Highlands Economic Partnership. They've been a great partner with us. And more importantly, they've been a guiding light for the entire state in lots of areas. Pathways specifically is one that I can name. We're a partner with Reconnect, Tennessee Reconnect. We're a partnership with Tennessee Apprenticeships, and we do have funding for apprenticeships. So if there's anybody out there that's listening that would be interested in signing up for a state recognized apprenticeship, please don't hesitate to give me, send me an email at bhull@ucworkforce.org. I mentioned the Cookeville Rescue Mission, and we just recently, because even before COVID-19, because people who are out of work, it's a very stressful situation.
Right.
We had signed an MOU with Volunteer Behavioral Health to have a mental health worker in our AJC.
Wow.
And last but not least, we just recently in the last few weeks have started working with Power of Putnam for drug-free workplace.
This is Local Matters. We are talking with Becky Hall, the Executive Director of the Upper Cumberland Local Workforce Board. And we will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. My guest today again is Becky Hall, and we are talking about the Upper Cumberland Local Workforce Board, but we're also talking about all of the other partnerships here in the Upper Cumberland. And Becky, I know you talked right before our break about the Pathways to Prosperity program and the Highlands Economic Partnership. And you've been very active in that Highlands Workforce Committee, and you've chaired at least at several times the Advanced Manufacturing Task Force. So talk a bit about what the work of that group entails and about what we mean by advanced manufacturing.
Well, advanced manufacturing has a very broad description, as you well know. It can be anything from tool and die to Jackson Kayak that we've worked with. It is very broad. And our committee has been one of the more active committees through the Highlands. We've seen some really good things come out of that committee. One is a certification that our career and technical directors from the county schools, wherein a student can, it's a voluntary certification, wherein they can complete a certain number of requirements. And the partnerships with the businesses that we have on the committee, it doesn't guarantee them a job if they complete those certifications, but it does guarantee them an interview. And so one of those things is, resume writing, attendance, a voluntary drug screening, those types of things. So that's one of the things that we've seen come out of that. And most recently, we have done a survey for the COVID-19. Some of our employers have really had to shift gears. They've changed from their normal manufacturing to manufacture personal protective equipment. They've changed how they have to work when people come in. They have to check their temperatures, and they have to do a survey each day on whether or not they've had a fever or a cough. It's been a very dramatic change. And so we're looking to assist them in any way that we possibly can. And the best way to find that out is to simply ask. And that's what our committee has been doing. We've done that in partnership with the Highlands and Workforce. We actually, the state had made some comments about that and are looking at that as a best practice. And so it's been a great experience to be part of the Highlands.
Well, and you've also, you work with, in that role, you work with the Tennessee College of Applied Technologies, with the community colleges, with Tennessee Tech, and with the high schools. One of the success stories a couple of years ago was the mechatronics program that's really a success story throughout this region. So tell us about mechatronics a little bit.
Well, mechatronics is mechanical and electronics, that word sort of meshed together. And we had been working, or higher education had sort of been working in their own silos, creating their own programs. And so as part of the Advanced Manufacturing Committee, we got all the partners at the same table and we're talking about how could we use the credits that they gained at the Colleges of Applied Technology and transfer that into a two-year program. And then there from the two-year program into the four-year program. And we are one of the few that have been able to sign an articulation agreement so that all the credits count. You get on that pathway, and everything that you do, whether it's at the TCAT, the two-year, or the four-year, counts toward that ultimate degree. And so you can work while you're doing that if you gain the skill set and be able to work and have a living wage. And then when you go on into the four-year degree, hopefully you'll be able to gain promotions as you work through the job.
And I know some of the prospective employers who were looking at the region, particularly Academy Sports Distribution Center and FICOSA, just could not believe the great work that was going on in the mechatronics in particular, but also just in general in the Advanced Manufacturing Task Force. So you all have done some great work there. And obviously, Pathways to Prosperity is a story unto itself, and we'll maybe get back sometime and talk more about that. But let's go back to your primary role and talk a bit more about the local workforce development board and some of the challenges that are there. So how would you describe some of the challenges and maybe the successes too associated with your job?
Well, like any director, executive director of a 501c, fundraising is my biggest challenge. There are so many worthy organizations out there. And when you say that we get state funding, then folks might assume that we do not need additional funding. But I wanted to tell you a story about a young lady who, she was married with three children, and she, her husband decided he wanted a divorce, and so they separated, and so she was left with three children at home. And when she graduated her last child from high school, she decided it was her turn, and so she went to college. She went to college. She got all the way through the 4 years to her last semester, and she got cancer.
Oh.
And so she had maxed out her funding through workforce. She had maxed out her financial aid. She had really, she had some situations where her financial aid, she had, I guess for lack of a better term, she had messed that up and was no longer able to get financial aid. And she lacked one course in order to be able to get her degree and be able to get a promotion at her work. So as a 501c3, we'd love to have that funding to be able to pay for that last course. But what we ended up doing is we literally just went out and begged. We went to, and folks out there know who they are, we went to them and said, if I can get this person to give $100, will you give $100? And so she now has her degree. And we all rejoiced that day. It felt like all of us got another degree that day.
It makes you get up in the morning and think this may be worth it after all.
Oh,
right?
Yes, it is worth it every day. That's just one story. We have so many that people who have really don't have a whole lot of hope, but we're able to provide hope. You know, I mentioned earlier that we remove barriers, but removing those barriers gives people hope.
It does, and it opens them up to a whole new life.
And we do a lot of career coaching in our Title I. So, you know, when people feel like they want to give up, we have career specialists that check in on them, and they check in on them for a full year after they complete the program. So it's not just that we provide the funding and throw them out there and expect them to navigate the system themselves. We really do provide that hand up and that oversight so that they can be successful. And if they don't know how to navigate something that they've come across, then they can always reach out to their career specialist.
And that's a really important word. People need a navigator at times. Mm-hmm. If they're in a healthcare situation, mm-hmm. they may have a nurse navigator, but a career navigator can really be a big help too. And so that's an important role for people to play, and they don't have to assume they've got to do it all themselves. There are people in your shop and in other places that can really, really help.
One category that we work with specifically that they receive first priority when they come in the door is our veterans.
Great.
So we have a disabled veterans person who works with helping them redo their resumes, get on Jobs for TN, look for jobs, and is it sort of a liaison between them and businesses so that they could get hired. We also provide services in the local Veterans Employment Rep, and there's a rep for each of the 14 counties. So they receive, and the veterans and their spouses, their families also receive.
Good. I didn't realize it extended to the to the spouse and family.
Does.
As we wrap up, give everybody your contact information again. How do they get in contact with your services?
Well, if you want to get in touch with the Career Center, the American Job Center, then the number, the main number there is 931-520-6020. Or if you want to email me, we serve our employers. We work with our employers getting our participants in jobs through apprenticeships, through on-the-job training. We are not just for folks looking for a job. We are for companies that need folks to come to work for them. So if you are a person who needs business services, you can reach out to James Simpson, and you can also get him at that 931-520-6020. They will forward the call. And then if there's anything that I've mentioned today, or especially if you'd like to donate to a 501c3,
amen,
then give me a call. My phone number is 931-520-6511. Or my email is bhull@ucworkforce.org.
Well, that is great. Thank you so much for being with us today. You've shared a lot of information. It's a challenging time, and your group is certainly doing their part to make the path a bit easier for some folks. So thanks for being with us today, Becky.
Thank you for having me.